Hey, y'all. Welcome to the Luxury Investment Podcast. I am your host, Carter. I am so excited you're here with me today, especially if you are on my YouTube channel watching there, or if you're just listening, welcome. I am here today with one of my personal essays, my sales associates. I am so, so excited that he said yes to being on. I have a couple of different questions for him. All the burning tea that we all want to ask essays about what goes on in the behind the scenes, as well as just some really good tips for you guys. Since, you know, in my last episode, I talked a lot about how essays are your best friends. That is who you want in your court, if you will, if you're going to start getting into the luxury investment game, because they are your insight into sales. They are your insight into when new things arrive and getting on lists early, et cetera, et cetera. So I thought it would be really fun to have him on and kind of give us some tips and tricks for what a good working relationship with an SA even looks like. So without further ado, let's get Kevin on the phone. So Kevin Selects is his Instagram. If you guys definitely want to go check him out there. He is an awesome Instagram SA, as well as obviously in store. But on his Instagram, he posts stories every single day of the newest things in the store and different things that are, you know, trendy or happening, or if there's a sale on a particular item, and you can always DM him to purchase, which is awesome. And without further ado, let's get him on. Chase, are you there? Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Hey.
I'm here.
Yay. Oh my gosh. I am so sticky excited that you accepted my invitation. Hi, I love you. Thank you so much. You are the best. Everybody go follow him just for that. He's putting himself on the line here. He is being on a podcast a last second even, because I totally forgot in episode 2 that I was like, you know what? Let's just go ahead and make that episode 3. I'm going to get, because I already had you in mind, I was like, I'm going to get Chase on and we're going to do like a little Q&A fun. And then I totally forgot that I said that. I asked him so last second, hey, oh my God, can you do a podcast with me? Because I already said this in my episode 2. And he's so graciously obliged. I'm obsessed. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, what, I love you. We've been friends for a while. We're very supportive.
I know. Turned friend.
Instagram is all about the support. The word of mouth is the greatest form of marketing. I am here to help you. You're always here to help me. So I am very excited. I've known about this for a minute. You. So I'm happy it's finally happening.
I know. I've been planning this podcast for a hot second, guys, literally. I'm so excited I'm finally here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's been a long time coming, the planning and all of that, just to get it rolling. But officially this year, I'm getting all the parts, all the wheels turning. Oh, even if it kills me, no. Slowly dying currently, but that's okay. It's always the mountain before the roll, right?
Of course. Well, and I'm happy it worked out timeline wise, because the rumor on the street is that designer clearance is starting around like Memorial Day weekend. So it's nice to know all of the inside tips and the best way of working with somebody over social media.
Exactly. Oh my God. You heard it here first. Word on the street. If you didn't hear that, designer sales are coming. So let's start into a bit of an intro about Chase. So at Kevin Selects, of course, like I said, is his Instagram. And so there's kind of a difference here that has been developing, because over, you know, the year 2020, when all of the department stores and everything kind of closed down, really, like, I think made the surge or the rise of essays on Instagram. Would you agree, or am I wrong there?
Of course. I would agree with you. Luckily, I had started using Instagram before then. I opened my profile about a year and a half before shutdown.
Oh, wow.
So I already had like a very strong foundation as far as the Instagram world goes whenever the world shut down.
Right. Great timing for you. Love that.
Yeah. And it worked out because I never actually went on unemployment. I was still employed. I was still able to go into the store. I was still able to post and sell and have an income, which is hard for other people, but I mean, it worked out for me.
Right.
Lots of others. I think that's actually how we met too, because at that time I was posting Chanel and you were like, oh my God, you're in Dallas.
Hi, my name is Carter.
I love Chanel.
Hi, my name is Carter. What's your name? Let's be friends.
So yeah, it's just been, I mean, it's taken off since there.
Yeah. So if you guys don't know, now there is it's much more regulated what essays can actually post to social media. But when the world shut down, they were posting all of the Chanel and the different sales, especially because in 2020, I think a lot of the luxury brands didn't totally know what direction things were going in. So they were putting on the sales and putting items in those sales that were way, way better than typically would be on sale, right? I mean, like the color schemes. Usually, like, for example, if a Chanel ballet flat was going to go on sale, it would be like a seasonal piece or like a particularly bright color or something like that. But they had like black Chanel ballet flats in that sale in 2020. It was like the 2008 crisis of the housing market. Everybody was buying. They were like, this is the crash. This is what you buy. Go, 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 go. Find everyone you can that is selling from a department store on Instagram. There is a difference, though. I should probably explain that now. Between boutiques and department stores, there's a completely different side to operations. Instagram itself really caters more to department stores when you're talking about essays, because boutiques rarely can sell anything online without you actually coming into the store. So there is a big difference there. And of course, Chase, I don't think we've said this so far, but he works for a major department store, which is why he has access to all of the designers versus just one, which, you know, is awesome, because a lot of times those department stores get completely different stock in than boutiques do, or they'll have stock longer or earlier than boutiques do. So it's a great way to kind of diversify where you shop luxury. You want to elaborate on that too? Because I know there's a huge difference on your side.
Well, I think the thing to point out too, I think between department stores and private boutiques, is a lot of private boutiques such as Fendi, Louis Vuitton, Prada don't allow their sales associates to have social media accounts.
Wow.
They are very particular about what images are put out of their products. So instead of allowing people to just put out whatever photo they want, they say, no, you can't have it. So that's why you don't see a ton of like, oh, Freddie at Fendi or Jessica with Prada on Instagram. It's because they can't have it.
Wow.
I'm fortunate because I work for Neiman Marcus. I'm actually in the flagship store. And we have private boutiques inside that I get to partner with these really great sales associates with Fendi, with Prada. We get to collaborate and just provide the best content for followers to see.
Awesome. Really? Yeah. That's interesting. So the only reason you're allowed to post some of those things on your stories, for example, is because you have a boutique inside of Neiman Marcus in your store. Is that right?
Correct.
Am I doing that right? Wow. Interesting.
That's also another thing that I think COVID kind of changed. You'll notice a lot more department stores have private boutiques within them instead of actually owning the product. But that also affects designer clearance and the items that you'll see go on sale. For instance, I don't think that we will see a designer clearance that includes Fendi handbags, Gucci handbags, Gucci shoes. A lot of those places went private and they pulled their actual stock from the department stores.
No way.
Department store doesn't get to decide when it goes on sale.
Oh, wow. So the sale that's happening around Memorial Day is based on Neiman Marcus, not necessarily based on designers in general. Is that right?
From what I understand, all of your major department stores and designers get together and they kind of decide when sale is happening and what's going on. There are a few people that stray away from that and add what they want to add to it. But for the most part, it's the same product across the board around the same time.
Awesome. Awesome. Interesting. So let's kind of go into a little bit about you, Chase, if you don't mind. Tell me kind of where you started, how long you've been an essay for, a bit of your accolades. He's kind of a big deal, guys. I mean, we didn't go over all the things in the beginning, so I want him to go over it now. He has an awesome essay that is like very well known, has come up the ranks ever since he started at his store.
So I actually started very, very seasonal with Nordstrom in the Christmas season of like 2018. Just got randomly hired in a bridge handbag position and worked my way up and built my knowledge to be moved up to the designer handbag floor in 2018.
Love it.
Yeah. From there, I just kind of built my book and I did the very traditional sales associate thing where you did outreach over text. You were building your book by meeting people on the floor. And I kept seeing all of these people using Instagram for sales. And I thought, you know, why not build this and reach 1,000 people just by posting a photo versus having to text 30 different people and
exactly.
wait for a response. So my social media actually started, thankfully, and is a lot of props are due to Lux Hunt.
I love it. I'm actually having Lux Hunt another episode, by the way. Lux Hunt, guys, is another Instagram who does deals. And she's an awesome just like deal hunter in general. She doesn't show her face or anything. She just posts deals on her stories. We kind of became friends just from me having an Instagram as well. But you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, I think that's how I found you was through Lux Hunt too.
Well, and that's how a lot of my original followers. But the crazy thing was I kept reaching out to Lux Hunt. I kept doing it. And she finally gave me a shout out. And I swear, immediately overnight, I had 1,000 followers on my personal account. And I was like, absolutely not. I need to make a work account. So I made the work account. And I reached back out. And I was like, hey, that was a lot. Let's do this to this work account. And ever since, it's just grown word of mouth and posting all of these great deals.
How cool is that?
Just like people building people. That's how you're successful. And it really depends on just how you treat people and the service that you provide.
Right. Absolutely. That's, and I love Instagram for that sense. That's literally the only reason I wanted to start Instagram, actually, is because as a business owner, I saw how much power social media had. And I loved the concept or the thought process of being able to build up a following and really give a lot of business or a lot of sales to a small business that I thought was great just by shouting them out. I mean, that ability alone just to help other entrepreneurs is absolutely amazing. It is my favorite thing about social media, my favorite thing about Instagram. And as you can see, just in that example, it totally makes a huge difference to starts of businesses. It's just so cool. I love that you're able to do that with just a simple post and totally change somebody else's, you know, trajectory or how fast that they can grow.
Right. Because I mean, just your life in general. Right? I mean, there are so many people that I can just be thankful for. Just, I mean, you have Deals to Steal, yourself, Curator Lab, Love. I mean, I could keep going, but there are so many people that helped me just build from where I was to where I am now.
Oh, that's so awesome. I'm so glad to hear that. So the first question I have for you is actually like, give us an explanation about what an essay can do for you.
You know, I'm just going to speak for me personally, because we all operate very differently, but I, with my clients that come in and even, you know, my clients that I work with on Instagram, I like to push them out of what they're normally going to wear, try on, even look at, because that's what I'm here for. If you're going to be using a different person every single time, you're just going to get what you think you want versus trying on something new and realizing, I love this. This is different. Right. This is something that I need in my closet. Like, this fills a void.
Totally.
But apart from the fashion sense, when you get a sales associate who knows you, it's like getting the inside deals. It's like having your person at Hermes who's like, hey, I have a Birkin in the back room for you.
Right.
Like, I find these goodies. Most of the time when you find something that's severely discounted,
you're only getting it because you have an essay.
Right. You're sending it to your top clients. And if it makes it to Instagram, it's because all of the people you know in that size said no to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the key, guys. That's the difference. You don't get good deals because you don't have an essay.
Your sales associate doesn't have a good memory or organization, so they remember your size to reach out to you.
Right. And the longer you're with someone, right, the more they remember you, or the longer you're with somebody, the more you're like, hey, oh my God, if you ever have this particular like brand on sale, I want to hear about it. And for the essay, from their perspective, they're like, sweet, there's a sale here automatically if I just offer them the right product. And on the other side, you're actually getting something that you really want because it's on sale, especially if you're, you know, doing this in an investor mind where you're looking for things that are going to appreciate their value or hold their value over time. Then like, this is how it works. I get that question all the time. How do you find these deals? Like, what do you mean? Because I do unboxings on Instagram. If you're not following me there, that's kind of how I started this whole process in general, as I did every day. I do an unboxing on stories about what I'm buying, and then I tag whoever I bought it from, right? And so I'll be like, most of the time, a lot of times it was Chase, and like, how do you find these deals from Chase? And I'm like, because I've been an essay. Like that's, you have to have the in. You got to get an in. You can't just expect to, you know, like randomly shop with anybody and everybody all the time, and then one of those people just happened to have a sales item for you. You know what I mean? They've already offered it to other clients that have already been shopping with them or already have a relationship with them. And that was kind of going into another thing that I said last week. I think I actually heard this from you originally, that buying history does not matter as much as kindness does. Or would you still say that that's true today from when you told me that originally?
Of course. I mean, if I'm not building a relationship and doing things like that, I'm just a cashier. There's right. no other point of me being there than just to cash you out.
Right. So, yeah.
I love
yeah.
what I do. I love getting to meet everybody. Be nice to your sales associates.
Right. And I feel like that I want to go into the next question, but I do kind of want to touch on that a little bit. Like, let's just dig into that just a smidge deeper, because there's this like whole other world, right, of sales associates. So if a sales associate gives you a bunch of deals that year, for example, like they had you top of mind and they were like giving you all the best deals on Chanel or whatever they had access to on the shoes and, you know, that kind of thing. Then at Christmas time, you might send them a little gift or you might send them, you know, like a card of just like thanking them in general. Is that too much? Is that normal? What's the inside take on an SA perspective from someone doing that?
First, we're really not allowed to accept gifts.
Even
in department stores. Of course, if you're coming in and you're handing us something and it's very sweet, champagne, whatever, we're going to take it. But thank you cards work, also texts. I think the most appreciated thing about your people who reach out to you for deals and these hard to find items is the loyalty in your other orders. So say you're up at 2 a.m. building a cart at Neiman Marcus and you're like, oh, okay, I'm just going to cash out online. Just wait. Or even the next day, say like, hey, I have this cart full of things I was going to buy anyway. I would love for you to get credit. You're so great. You send me all these deals. I want to support you.
Love it. Great. I think just info.
Continuous support, even behind the scenes of like, hey, I was going to buy this anyway. Just cash me out. You have my info. We really appreciate that.
Awesome. So if for anybody that didn't follow that, there you can obviously shop at a lot of these department stores online. And when you're shopping with a department store online, no sales associate gets credit for that. And that's, of course, a commission level for them. They get commission directly back. It does work differently in boutiques. They don't get commission the same way. I think it's more of a store thing. But if you're interested in like building a relationship with your SA, then just give them as many sales as you can. So if you're instead of checking out online at 2 a.m. because you're shopping, just wait till they're up and, you know, at 8 a.m. the next morning and be like, hey, this is everything in my cart. Could you check me out so you get credit? And then it's just like a great gesture for them to get more sales under their belt and get more accolades on their side. And it's, you know, it's a win-win, right?
Yeah, of course.
Love it. Love it. Okay. So that kind of pops us into number three. Let's talk about luxury sales. How does it actually work? It is a bit of a mystery on everybody's side. They happen twice a year. Do they happen more than that? What's the tea on luxury sales in department stores?
So I'm very new to Neiman Marcus, so I'm learning the difference between that. But when you're talking about a firm designer clearance, before COVID, it was typically every November and every May. You could depend on having designer clearance where you had your first markdown. Traditionally, it was every 2 weeks after the first markdown, I got a second markdown, and then another 2 weeks, it got its third and final markdown. Now, of course, everything has switched since then. Some designers decided, hey, I'm not doing this at this time. I'm going to do it a week later. And I feel like nature is healing. Everything is getting back to where it should be.
Right.
All of your sales are breaking at the same time. You do have certain brands that are deciding not to have sales, such as Gucci.
Interesting.
You have brands that are choosing to only go to first markdown, which is the brand that shan't be named by me.
Cough, cough, Chanel. I can say it, right?
I don't know what you're talking about, but that's a good assumption.
Just in 1 year out the other, that word doesn't exist. Chanel, and for everybody that doesn't understand what's happening, Chanel is so annoyingly strict on anybody that uses, that any sales associates via social media, also just social media in general. It's kind of ridiculous, to be honest. The bots that they have hired, the third party that they have hired to go through and try to find fakes, often misrecognize bags of people just posting listing of their own personal collection and will literally shut down an Instagram account. It is unprecedented times. It is so frustrating for everybody that is on Instagram, but especially if you're an SA at a department store, because they are so strict that you're not allowed to show anything, anything in the background, anything that has to do with Chanel. Which, do you even know why? Do we know why that is? Like, do you have an answer?
No, I do. So, all respect, I'm going to speak the name just because I'm explaining this, but right. Chanel believes in having the traditional, very romantic one-on-one relationship with a sales associate. So any form of
mass selling,
any form of mass selling is a no-go. Everything right. has to be it has to be one-on-one. So
interesting.
If you're interested in those brands, also, they're not the only ones. You have brands like Celine and Van Cleef who also do not like to be on social media. So you'll notice that your sales associates aren't posting those for everyone to see.
Right.
So that's where you reach out to people and say, hey, I know you can't post this, but I would love to be on your outreach list so that I can be up to date when these things are available.
See, that's another great tip, guys. That's why you're not seeing things on your Instagram stories of the sales associate that you follow. So DM them and be like, hi, I love Chanel. How do I find out when the new release is, when the new collection happens, et cetera. So just because also that's probably a good note just to touch on that. Like Chanel department store doesn't exist in Neiman Marcus, but you can still sell Chanel shoes. And can you still also sell Chanel since it's a department store in other Neiman Marcuses, or how does that work?
I only have access to shoes, cosmetics, and sunglasses in my store. You can only sell ready-to-wear handbags if you have a boutique inside of your department store.
Inside of your department store. Okay, gotcha. Interesting. Correct. And you won't know who those sales associates are because they're not allowed to post to social media.
Correct.
Classic. They make it so easy to shop. Like, really, it's just...
And it never hurts to ask. I mean, I always have people reach out to me and ask me if I have access to it, and I let them know that I do not, but I have several partners within Neiman Marcus and Nordstrom, as well as Saks, that I can connect my followers with so that they get what they want. At the end of the day, I am a stylist, so I want my clients to have the items that they want, regardless of if I can access them or not. So
that's awesome.
I'm in everyone's corner.
Yeah, absolutely. And it, you know, provides loyalty. If you can't get the item, you can provide somebody else that can get it for them. I'm coming back to you every time I want to buy something that you can get me as well, right? Because you're my plug, you're my in, you have the other connections, which is just a win-win. Love that.
Of course.
And okay, kind of leads us into the next thing. Number four, how do you get seen quickly on Instagram stories? If you're like, you post a deal on Instagram stories, let me paint you guys a picture. This is how it works, right? You have all your sales associates on notifications. The second they post, this is sales season for you. The second they post on their stories, it alerts you. You go to their page and you see that they have a designer item on sale, and you freak out and you're like, oh my God, I want that because it's a crazy good deal, right? And you swipe up and you DM them and you're like, hi, I want this in a size 38, please. How do you get seen on the other side of that? Because of course you and everybody else just did that.
So I'm, again, speaking for myself because everyone is very different on Instagram. But I'm fair. Whoever sends the first message, they have first dibs on it. And I will tell everybody who has messaged me after that, like, hey, somebody reached out just before you. I'll let you know if they've fallen through.
Love it.
Typically, the first person that messages, they have, if they're taking their sweet time, I'm going to send them a follow-up message like, hey, you've got 30 minutes. Here's the info. I have other people who are reaching out. You were the first person. But what I recommend... A lot of people do this. They have their information saved in their notes, or it's even like an auto response on Instagram for you, Instagram shopping addicts. I see you. It's just like ready to go so that they can send in. They're like, hey, send it to me. But other than that, the other things you can do is say like, hey, this is my info. Save it for me. Anytime I say mine, here we go. It's this one. It's never going to change. I've lived at the same house for 10 years. I'm not going anywhere.
Right. Right. And that's my advice too. That's also what I do is I have a picture that I have on my phone, and I send that picture of my card when I say I want the item. So there isn't like this back and forth. They see me. I don't see it for 30 minutes. I lose the item. I just say, hey, I want a 36. And I send my info with my address. And most of the time I've already shopped at the department store anyways. And this is an essay that I usually, you know, work with. So they know me, but it makes that whole transaction so much easier. And I'd like to think it makes me easier to work with because you don't have to wait 30 minutes to make the sale. Right. Am I wrong?
Of course. Well, and people are always going to have questions. It's hard, especially people who don't own designer. They've never tried on sizes. They're not sure. Right. But I like to just let people know, like, most of the time, the return policy with Neiman's is very easy. It's returnable within 30 days, as long as there's no visible signs of wear or use. And I'm happy to have that conversation with people of like, hey, I can send you a return label so that it comes back to me if it does not fit or you don't care for it. But other than that, perfect. It's hard to give people sizing unless you're in person trying on. So the easiest way to learn that is to go to the store, try on, and know what size you are before you're buying online.
Yeah, 100%. Especially if you live in the Midwest like I do and you don't have a lot of these designer brands in your city, whenever you travel, do yourself a favor, go and try it. Anything you think you might buy in the future, even if you're not ready to buy it on now, just try it on for your size. Get that reference. And then whenever you see a good deal on something, you're not second guessing it. Like, oh God, is this going to fit? I don't know if this is going to fit or not, et cetera, because you have a well-rounded version because you just took a day, tried on all the shoes and all the different sizes and you know, got kind of a reference in your head. That's a really good like way to do it for sure.
Well, and if you even communicate that too, so say Carter, you came to Dallas and you tried on a Pagal and you know that you're a 37, say like, hey, I'm a 37 and a Pagal. If you tell me that, I can guide you in sizing just based on experience of putting other people's feet in shoes and knowing how things run.
Yeah, totally. Which is another great sense of when you have somebody that's been there for a while, then they actually know what they're doing and you're getting great advice from someone that does this all the time versus just trying to guess yourself, which is awesome. Okay. So number five is what is a day in your life? What is it like being an SA? What is it like being a top earner? He's a top earner. If you guys don't know that, it's a big deal. We love him. He sells a lot of things. Maybe things people don't realize. What's kind of like a day in the life look like? What are the good and the bads? You know, give us the tea.
I work 24/7.
Oh, wow.
You and I are very similar in the sense where like no DM is left unread. We have responses to everything. I think I posted about it recently, but when I moved from Nordstrom to Neiman's, I lost my assistant. So it's like a one-man show. Jeez. And I've had an assistant for a full year. So I'm getting back to working alone at the current moment and right. Having to deal with, 5,000 more followers than I had the last time I was working by myself.
Right.
So at one point I had 3 phones all dedicated to work and I was answering text messages, DMs, product requests. So just be patient with your associates.
Totally.
But the day in my life, I usually wake up. We usually take our very beautiful, very friendly dog for a walk in the morning.
He's so sweet, guys. You have to send me a picture so I can post it I can put it on YouTube.
Of course.
I can do a little pop-up.
But we usually get an hour of quiet time and then I'm like off to the races. I'm answering the DMs that I have already on the way to work while I'm getting ready for work. That way when I get to work, I can post immediately to my stories what's new, what's on sale. That way y'all have time to say like, hey, I want this while I'm in store.
Right.
And then after that, usually it's me doing outreach to my people in town, working with my clients on the floor while also answering your questions and helping you virtually and processing orders.
Wow. So it's just selling all day.
All day.
All day. What's new? What do I have new in that I can show who's going to like this item? And you're just like puzzle piecing those together all day.
All of it. So I'm in a massive store because we're in a flagship. I have 3 stories. My office is based on the 3rd floor. And I promise you, I am never on one floor longer than 45 minutes because I'm just running and trying to show y'all what is the newest, what's on sale. I'm digging in stock rooms for old deals because I'm that person. I'm the one who's bringing you the latest, the hard to find items, but also the best deals that you find tucked away.
Right.
I'm so incredibly grateful to have the following that I have because I know that people can shop elsewhere. They can go to the store and they can shop with these people. I haven't met a lot of people that are very loyal to me. And so it's just it's an incredible community to be a part of. So we just have to be thankful at the end of the day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I could not agree more. It is like my safe space too. I go in and I'm just like, man, I also have, it's so awesome. And I know it's like such a hard perspective to have whenever you're not on social media and you're just typically DMing somebody that you like a lot and you don't have like a perspective for what it's like to get a lot of, you know, back and forth or DMs in general. But it is so incredibly humbling for somebody on the other side of like, we are just constantly grateful. At least I mean, I obviously we can only speak for us, but like, I'm so incredibly grateful for everybody that DMs me or like likes anything. It is just so awesome to be able to chat with somebody that is interested in this like minds. Like we can all be friends and, you know, like chit chat about, and like for you, they can chit chat about buying something or, you know, like, what do you think about this or perspective? Also you're just like one big group of people that like all like the same thing. So it's like, you know, it's a fun community. I love it.
Well, what I love too is part of the reason why I came to Neiman Marcus. I, like you, grew up in a very small rural town. I didn't know much about what I'm dealing with now. So the approachability, but also the ability to provide these items to people who don't live in a city with a major department store or a giant designer shopping neighborhood, it's fulfilling. I enjoy it.
Sorry for the abrupt interruption here, guys. We're actually splitting this podcast up into two separate episodes. As you can tell so far, it's such an awesome interview that I really didn't have the heart to edit some of the fun stories and different things out to make it shorter. So instead, I made this part one. And next week, next Saturday, will be part two. Look forward to some really fun stories and some great laughs next week. And I will see you guys then. Thank you so much again for listening and watching on YouTube if you're watching there. Follow me on Instagram if you're not already, and I will see you next week.